pleasure to be here. And yeah, I guess it is. You know, it's funny. A lot of people had been talking about how Boeing was at a severe disadvantage, and Boeing certainly was acting that way, and EADS was being quite optimistic. But it was very rare to actually get any primary sources say, oh, yeah, we're definitely favoring the EADS bid.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really sure. It could have just been expectations management or something like that.
The first thing that people mentioned, literally, the first note that I got was within 30 seconds of Secretary Donnelly saying we're giving this to Boeing was the protest idea. What do you think about that? Handicap that a little bit if you can.
Well, it's going to be really interesting. Monday is really sort of the most important day here because that's when EADS is debriefed. And the Air Force is certainly speaking as though they've got kind of an open and closed case here, that everything's been very carefully done and the numbers speak for themselves. And but then again, that's what they said before the last protest back in 2008. So it's going to come down to whether or not EADS sees something that it can, you know, drive a truck through and say, oh, we're protesting on that basis. But right now, the way the Air Force is saying it, it's pretty ironclad.
I thought the briefing was interesting because Secretary Donnelly came out and spoke for 7.5 to 8 minutes doing what is called in the news business burying the lead. The most important thing that people wanted to know was who got it. And he spent the first period of time talking about the process and the fact that both of the bids were contractable, that they were both acceptable bids, and spent the last 15 seconds actually announcing we're giving it to Boeing. Is there any significance to the fact that they paid so much attention to letting people know what the process was and how it played out to get to the decision that they made?
Very definitely. There's been quite a lot of criticism of that process. And, you know, I guess you could say, you know, paraphrase someone else, the process is the message at this point. And basically that this isn't just a question of the political winds or reading, you know, the tea leaves. This was done with real math and, you know, hundreds of points that involved grading. And we're looking forward to debriefing the winners and losers and explaining everything in careful detail. So I think that's become very important for the Air Force Procurement Office to reestablish its credibility, because after the last debacle, there was a time that the decision was taken away from them.
EADS is saying this afternoon, we're just learning, that they will not consider filing a protest until the briefing that you mentioned, which is taking place on Monday. Then they've got 10 days after that to file with GAO. And then the process can play out as it's already played out twice to get us to where we are today. Do you see anything in from what was talked about at the briefing yesterday or in other things that you've learned through your contacts that gives you any indication one way or the other about what we might see, not just from EADS, but what we might have to look forward to from Boeing about the actual building of the planes?
Well, quite a lot of work to be done on both sides. You know, from the standpoint of what they're likely to find out on Monday, it feels, from what the Air Force is hinting, that a lot of this came down to cost. And, of course, this was the reason Northrop Grumman decided to leave the partnership with EADS, because they thought the new request for proposals was, as they put it, a cost shootout. And it's quite possible that a lot of the Air Force's decision did come down to costs, and that might give EADS fewer grounds for complaint. On the other hand, their political allies, primarily from Alabama and nearby, there's a lot of water under the bridge for them, and they might want some kind of politically motivated disruption or some kind of effort to maybe perhaps mandate a split buy, which is still, believe it or not, conceivable. Now, from Boeing's standpoint, they've just made a very aggressive bid on a project that, up front at least, is fixed price in the development phase, which means there's quite a lot of risk on their side. And I don't think it's going to be a terribly lucrative contract for them at all, but at least they kept this long-running franchise to their company.
Talk about the timeline. Let's, and we'll operate under the assumption that EADS agrees with this, albeit begrudgingly, I imagine, and the construction's allowed to proceed on these planes. When will we see the first ones available for the Air Force, and what's the rest of the timeline look like?
Well, there's sort of this upfront period where they have to design what they're going to design. They've actually even made some last-moment changes in terms of who's doing the refueling pods and things like that, creating the prototypes and ultimately getting an upfront batch of planes. I think the number is about goodness, I think like about 18 planes by 2017, sort of a kind of initial operating capability sometime around then. So they've got 6 years to design and build and get going. And they have made design changes, but at the end of the day, it's a 767, and they've been building these things for 30 years, so risk is somewhat manageable. But on the other hand, it's also quite possible that they get those first planes in, and they don't have some capabilities that need to be spiraled in later.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the sorts of things that Boeing would have to pay for.
Richard Abulafi is Vice President of Analysis at the Thiel Group. Thank you very much for your insights. Great to have you on the program today.
Pleasure.
You can hear our conversation with Richard at federalnewsradio.com/Dorabeck Insider. Anytime you want to listen to it, it's always posted online for you.